figure it out. So it's basically three words, but we are going to treat it as if it's one word, because that's how you say it.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is.
Back in the saddle.
Oh, that is the best for a stretch. Go for that record button.
Everything just comes loose after that.
It's like, oh, there's some magic in stretch.
I suppose that's why yoga has been such a big thing for so long.
It amazes me that people get to levels of, what's the word, like euphoria from just stretching.
Yeah, it's a different...
And meditation and stuff like that.
Well, meditation is not an easy thing. Most people don't know how to meditate, and they go onto YouTube and they listen to some waves crashing, and then just sit there and do some.
But breath work, right? Like,
oh, breath
obviously work. There's some absolute value in it, even for the Ooh. For the novice. Just a little bit of like 5 minutes of breath work.
Yep. I say, well, a lot of people look because Wim Hof has obviously been the biggest one in the last few years has come out with sort of like, just is breathing. And he says, just breathe, motherfucker, breathe.
Fuck yeah, it's minus 20, mate. Leave me alone. Yeah.
And look, and that's the thing is like, I mean, everyone's a shallow breather. So, I mean, and breathing is probably the most essential thing to actually get the blood circulating faster. The more oxygen you have in there, the easier it is to do stuff. It just makes perfect sense. But it's meditation and breathing just go hand in hand, and that's one of the focuses of yoga too. Is definitely to breathe.
Don't
hold your breath.
Yep.
And it's so much easier when you're doing something strenuous to actually hold your breath and go.
Oh, I did the medical at work the other day and had to do the spirograph.
Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah, and talk about like shallow breathing. I was hitting it like volume. But just like not enough
power in the exhalation.
Enough power, but not enough volume.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like really try and get some
get
air
some more,
into
get some more juice out. But as you know, if you just sit there and focus yourself on actually just breathing normally,
yep.
Everyone's a shallow breather. It's just
it's
just in for a couple and then out for a couple, that's it. And it's not until you actually focus and go, okay, well maybe try go in for 10, out for 10. And you realise...
In for 10?
Yeah.
Who can breathe in for 10 seconds?
Go slow, bro.
No, man.
It's not a race.
I don't think I can breathe in for 10 seconds.
The oxygen's coming.
I'm going to try it.
Just do it. When we're talking.
The timer.
Put the timer on. Just in for 10, out for 10. It's always nice and steady, steady.
All right. For those following along.
Try it yourself. In for 10, out for 10.
Let's go for 10 seconds. Ready? Let's see how long this is. Alright, I'm gonna breathe out and then I'm gonna go in.
The look on his face is like somebody's electrocuting him.
Jesus. That felt like I'd had enough at 5.
Mm. And yet you think about it though, you're still able to get more in.
Yeah, I could have gone 20, I reckon, probably would have died. But
that's the thing is that you've still got the air going in and the body just wants air. So as you breathe more air in, it's still able to circulate that air that you've got. It's when you don't have air, that's when the body goes, oh, the fuck.
Oh, something is wrong.
Oh, the fuck.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Had it the other day at work. Wearing the forced air helmets.
Where
I was working was super dusty. It was the logical choice. But, jeez, man, I found myself struggling to get enough air in.
In those things, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like I was like oxygen mask training.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and that's a terrible feeling when you're not used to it.
Oh,
very enclosed.
It was not cool, man.
Mm.
I wasn't working like super hard. Like, I was busting my ass, but not like I could have gone more. If without it, I would have been able to go heaps more.
Yeah, it does.
But, I found myself just like having to stand out, like in the air and mask off and
Oh yeah, get yourself some. Yeah. Well, a lot of training that you can do with that is a lot of people sort of say, well, look, you know, get yourself a straw and actually breathe through a straw. So you have to pull hard to get it to get the air in.
Bro, that's like my worst fear is like being like buried alive with a straw to breathe through.
Ooh. Tiny little bit of.
Take me away, sweet Jesus. I've had enough. I'd be spitting the straw out. Not even going to try.
End it now.
Yeah, I'm not even interested.
There's a few horrible ways that people think of to die. You know, those like, and that's, every now and then you just said, what horrible ways do you think to die? And go,
buried alive's up there, eh?
Have to be
top three.
Yeah, it'd have like, to be. I mean, without knowing that it's going to happen, there's
like
no
like all the super detailed, gory ones, but like as far as it goes, like
as a psychological breakdown of this shit's getting real now. It's like, oh man, nasty.
That would be the fucking worst.
Well, that scene you're in Kill Bill, where she's doing the one punching the coffin until it breaks,
and then somehow out of 6 feet of dirt
comes up. Fuck, bless yeah, her. Buddy, bless her cotton socks.
That was such a good movie.
Oh. It was. Uma Thurman has the ugliest feet in history.
She does.
Terrible.
But Tarantino has a thing for feet. Have you noticed that?
He films a lot of feet in.
Did you watch the last one he did? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I haven't seen that one. No.
Oh, there's like a scene where like maybe it must be Dakota Fanning, who's like all grown up now, and she's just got like a dirty hippie feet on the dash, and the camera's like outside, just follows it for like 2 minutes.
Jesus,
strange man is.
Were they all
Tarantino?
Did they just do that? Were they the crack feet and with the dirt in the cracks?
Oh no, it's just like dirty, like walking around in the dirt.
Oh feet. Yeah, just. Why'd you do that?
For summer of love, man.
Just, I say, if you have that, if you have a foot fetish, and that just gets crushed when you say it, go, no, they're not doing it for me now.
Feet, such a weird thing.
There's a fucking movie that Eddie Murphy did years and years and years ago, and I just can't remember it now. But anyway, he's got this chick in bed, and he's got a foot fetish, and he's talking to one of his friends about sort of like, oh, you know, they got horrible feet, I can't handle it. And I can't remember the movie, but anyway, he slept with her, she's still asleep. And he slowly grabs hold of the sheet and he starts pulling the sheet down so he can eventually see the feet and keeps going and going until the feet pop out and he just goes, whoo! He's excited, the feet aren't all fucked up.
Oh, that dude is a legend.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast the other day and they were talking about what they used to do in China. They used to actually do that fucking
binding.
Yeah, the feet binding. And so, look, same as the neck. The next shit in Africa where they fucking put the rings in and extend their necks. They've got this great big long googly neck.
How strange is the human body that you can just
I can adapt.
Put it in one spot and it would just sort of grow that way.
Yeah. But then the same thing goes when you look at, like just say for somebody like, because I know the topic very well, is Ronnie Coleman. Mm-hmm. You look at what when he's deadlifting, and same with all these powerlifters and stuff, the lifting 500 kilos.
Yeah, plus. Humans weren't meant
but
to do
in
that.
In their hands.
Yeah.
They're holding 500 kilos in their hands, attached by bone, ligament, muscles, tendons, that sort of stuff, and nothing fucking breaks.
Yeah.
Like, and yet somebody can just twist your arm a little bit sideways and
snap.
That's it, snap, crackle, pop, and it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah, man.
You just to be able to hold that amount of force.
Just like.
And not have your body just
fingers
pull apart.
Hold that bar.
Yeah.
Just.
To pull your whole body apart. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That just crazy.
Yeah.
And same when they, you know, when they get in there and they bloody squat and they just they squat they, and all that weight. That just weight just going straight down. Straight on your spine, onto your hips. And all those are movable joints.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, there are horrific mistakes that happen and people just get fucked up for life.
Yeah.
But the ones that don't and they keep doing it, it's like, holy shit, man, how's that body not failing?
Yeah.
How the fuck is something not spitting out the soul like a fucking zit and they're broken forever? It's like, fuck!
The Atlas stones are the ones that get me. Like, just that fucking boulder.
Grab?
Just a boulder. Fucking leaning back and...
It's just, fuck! That's the thing and... Look, you know, when you're younger, you always have that. I used to have a mentality when I was younger, is sort of like, you know, if anyone else was lifting stuff, I could lift the same. Like if somebody else was throwing the generator on the back of the car, yeah, I throw that fucking generator on there. It's now I look at it and go, man, that dumb.
I'm gonna need some more people over here.
Can I have two more, please?
I used to when I was a furniture removalist, it was like my first job, obviously, out of school. And I was the same. Like a 17-year-old kid. Yeah, I can lift pool tables with you and shit like that.
Let's just do it.
Let's do it. Oh, man, the amount. And, like, just, I don't know, you just get stuck in that mindset. Like, I can do this. Of course I can do this. You can do it. I can do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially
yeah.
when you're that age and you got fucking just testosterone. Bulletproof
as shit.
Fucking, oh, I'd still go out and drink 100 beers and do it in the morning the next day. It's just like, oh.
No worries. It'll get up. Ready to go, come on.
Yeah, it's man.
Fuck.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it is bullshit.
But good segue. I've got a topic today, believe
it or not. Oh, shit. Nice. I had a topic as well, but we might be able to combine the topics
together.
All right,
let's see if they go together.
Okay, hit it, man.
I come across the other day scrolling social media, and I've seen the same thing twice from two different sources, and it made me think that there's a reason I was supposed to see it. As weird as that sounds, and as fate filled as it sounds.
Yeah, love that one.
It's from a heavyweight boxer, Ed something. Let me Google it because I do want to give the rider
context behind it.
Yeah.
Well, from what you've initially started with, I don't think my topic will blend in there at all. Okay. but we may be able to make it work. Let's just see.
All right. Ed Lattimore is do you know Ed Lattimore?
I know the name, yeah.
Big dude. Big dude.
Not overly successful, but...
Not great. 13-1-1. So not bad.
Yeah, he's had a good record.
More in front than he is behind.
Yep.
He
hasn't smashed any of the real big guys yet, but he's getting close.
Enough looking.
Oh, yeah. No, nasty looking.
Ed Lattimore, 2 years ago on Twitter, dropped the... Yeah, it's so good. Embarrassment is the cost of entry. If you aren't willing to look like a foolish beginner, you'll never become a graceful master.
Yeah.
It's like it's that step, right? That first step. And I don't know why, but it showed up in my social media feeds at a time where, as someone that constantly looks at what I'm avoiding to feel comfortable, realized I had not immediately jumped at an opportunity because of ego.
Yeah. Happens quite a lot with a lot of people.
Yeah.
The fear of people judging you for failing at something when you try it, that you may eventually succeed when you master what you're doing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a big deal. Everyone has that fear of being ridiculed for not achieving what they set out to achieve.
Yeah,
everyone does. That's why I sort of say to people, if you have a dream, don't tell it to anybody.
Just
be your dream. Just achieve it. Go and set out to achieve your dream. You know, as the great master Yoda once said, there is no try. Do there is no try.
And only do or do not.
Yeah, there is do or do not. There is no try.
There is,
And that's the thing is when you think about it, it's a very simple philosophy. Is just try.
Yeah.
If you want to do something, just try. I mean, there are certain things where you have to put the handbrake and go, "Ooh, this may be silly, and I may have to reevaluate."
Yeah, don't go try and do a 400-kilo squat.
Yeah, that no,
probably die.
And I would not try that because literally, my face has already had enough damage to it. I don't want the bar pushing me into the concrete. They're fuck.
But yeah, so I got offered an opportunity at work, which is strange. And I said, look, maybe, like, I don't know. Jesus,
that's rough weather.
Super rainy. And I didn't immediately say yes. And I was like, okay, why didn't I immediately say yes? And,
holy shit, those you can probably hear it through the body thing.
We can hear it through the headphones.
Yeah, it's raining real bad.
Jeez, maybe we just take a minute here.
Thank fuck we're not doing this outside. Yeah. Jeez.
Jesus, all right, let's wait a second.
That is savage,
That is so loud. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. The decision was presented to me, and I immediately said no. Well, I didn't say no. I said I would think about it, and I did. messaged my mate when I got home, spoke to my wife, all these sort of things. And then that forced me to really think about why I said no. And the reason I said no is because I have such a preconceived idea about how good I am at something that to start from the start would highlight all the things I don't know. And so I got in this mindset of, it's like, it's you know, embarrassment is the cost of entry. Like, I didn't want to be the new guy again.
Yep.
Because I've spent so long not being the new guy, right? And it's, yeah. And so I immediately said no. Well, not no, but I immediately didn't say yes. And then, yeah, and then I had to think through it and was like, okay, what am I doing here? Why? And then, yeah, and then obviously realize it's a great opportunity and it's the next step. Yeah, it's going to take time, but, you know, anything worth doing is worth doing well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, yeah, it was like that. That embarrassment as the cost of entry was a real shock. That it, like, even someone that does not often say no to opportunities, immediately my brain just went, no.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it was strange. It was real strange.
It's surprising what the fear of the unknown, how much of an impact that actually has on you.
Yeah.
You know, so you think you know until somebody tells you something, you go, oh, shit.
We only know what you know, right?
That's it, yeah. And that's the thing is, like, it's surprising, you know, during the years, how many things come your way and you just think, fuck, I never knew that. I've done this so many times. And somebody says, did you know about this? And it's like, no. Like, what the fuck? Really? Holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the closed door thing of sort of like, I've told people like over so many things, I've never been the all-seeing eye on anything. But, you know, like the information I have, I've made sure the information I have is pretty solid. And then sort of like if, you know, if I'm going to make a comment on something, it's only because I know. I'll never make a comment on anything where I go, I know nothing about this and I'm going to give you everything I know on it. Just don't. Because you say you only know what you know from the people that you have surrounded you, the information you get and how much you looked into yourself. You know, I was very lucky when I was an apprentice, I had a couple of really good tradesmen and they'd been in the game for a long time and they had learned some really weird shit on fixing stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, so I've had plenty of guys that have sort of like, you know, have called me up over the years and so said, oh, look, I'm fixing this and I can't get this to work. So, oh, I know what that is. I said, I've got the tool for that. You need a special tool.
Yep.
And the only reason I knew that is because the two guys I work with had been in it so long, they'd fixed that same shit.
They'd figured it out
and it's like, it's just like, you'd never know it unless somebody actually showed you. And it is so good to have those little one percenters here and there and go, oh man, thank fuck, they showed me that and I've learned that. Because then you have the confidence. But other times it's like, look, I've got no fucking idea. No idea. None. Sorry.
Really shows the importance of building a good team of people around you. Because you can't know everything, right?
Nah.
You can't know how to do everything. There's just not enough years in your life to learn everything.
Even if you wanted to sit there and Google Twitter face every day for hours and hours on end, there would still be 2/3 of every subject you would never know 100% about. Yeah. You just physically can't.
And hard work closes that other, you know, that other bit of gap, right?
Yeah.
Like there's only so much you know, and I immediately thought of you with this, was that my plumbing situation on grand final day a few years ago, right? Here's the problem. We know the problem. Okay, how do we fix the problem? At some point, someone needs to get to their armpit in the shit line. Yeah. To try way, and figure it
way
out.
Down. Way down.
hard work needs to take over.
That's it. And every now and then, intellect goes away and just pure grunt.
Aggression has entered the discussion.
Yep. And every now and then, brawn beats brains.
Sometimes.
It does. It's it.
Fuck, man. That was a great day. Oh, so sunburned.
Sunburned, covered in shit smell. Crap all over the street, all over your driveway.
Everywhere. Just shit everywhere. Literally.
Yeah, literally everywhere.
And it wasn't even my fault. And they fixed it.
Yeah. Praise God for the Water Corp.
Oh, those poor gentlemen. Yeah. Fuck that for a job.
They have that job.
Did you ever consider being a part of the Water Corp just for that little bit less stress and...
Yeah, on occasions it's sort of like it popped its head up. I mean, they're a limited access opportunity.
Yeah.
And when they do come up, sort of like it's usually mates that ring up and sort of... Oh, okay. Like, hey,
one
man,
of those inherent jobs. Yeah,
Freddie Breck here is retiring. Yeah, there's an opportunity. It's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, the resumes just hit the fucking thing running. It's like, whoo, shit.
Yeah, right.
But I suppose it's like most things, you know, it's got to be something you want to gravitate towards anyway. I mean, look, and their job is a great job, big scream things, pumps, pipes,
yeah,
and an occasional little bit of blockage shit here and there.
Yeah.
Good job and pays pretty well from all accounts. That's why guys stay in there for so long, you know, pretty much similar to our sort of work. You know, a lot of people, once they're there, they'll stay there for a long time if it suits them. And once you get to a certain pay bracket, you go, this is pretty easy. If I go back to the nuts and bolts and screws side of thing, I'll be back starting back at the bottom pecking order and have to try and, you know, prove my worth. And that's probably one of the things where people get scared is sort of like, you know, having to prove your worth.
Again.
When you sort of say, oh, I think I've proved that I can do what I can do and people trust that I can do what I can do. But when you start either with a new business or, you know, like in a new job, you've got to... You feel like you sort of like you're being judged. Like, oh shit!
Yeah,
starting from the bottom again. People won't trust that I know what I know because they don't know me.
Yeah,
it's all so new.
Your word doesn't matter. Fuck all.
Doesn't mean shit,
right? Like trust and all those sort of things that you take for granted after you've been in one place for 10 years. It's I get that a lot now, where it's like like if I say it's done, like integrity, like if I say it's done or it's going to be good or it's fine, people believe you, right? Yeah, cool. Yeah. Ricky's not going to...
They've got it.
Yeah, Ricky's, you know, he knows what he's talking about. It's all good. Now, you know, potentially got to start again. And it's a bit of a shock, a bit of a realization that your word is only as good as the time you've used it. And it can start again.
Yeah, at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a reboot for you. It's a nice way to reboot your internal mechanism though, to put yourself in sort of like, fuck, people, you know. Now I'll be in there with like 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be judging me the same as those, even though I've got like nearly 10 years experience doing this.
Yeah.
Now it's like it puts a different spin on it.
Yeah.
But so then. The thing is that people that know you though will go, yeah, you can cut the string on this guy, man. Let's get him right up the top end, and you know he can do all the baby shit. We don't have to do that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that I can now not jump a few steps, but I'm certain that I have a level of knowledge that will suffice in a lot of stuff.
Most people don't get offered opportunities like that. Very often, and the ones that do get offered the opportunities are generally ones they can go, we can RPL this real quick, and get him so that we can use it. Because obviously, apprentices and trainees and stuff can't be used in either way because you're not signed off on anything.
Yeah.
So, but basically, they know if they're going to offer somebody as an adult apprentice, they know that they can pretty much hot skip and jump you real quick.
Yeah.
So also too, that's a boost for confidence to sort of know they have the faith to actually offer you something like that and go, if we offer this is advantageous for us.
Yeah.
And then you see it and go, well, this is also advantageous for me. Yeah. So it's a great thing. It is just such a great
definitely.
Thing.
It would definitely be interesting. That's for sure. But it's you can see why people don't leave jobs, right? Having to start again. It's comfort, like that institutionalized thing. Yep. It's not just...
Well, you notice the corporate psychopaths are the ones that actually can jump companies left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you might have somebody in a big company, you know, like our company's relatively large. So people will come into our company and they'll be gone in a few years and they'll jump to a totally different company, same role, they don't care. Corporate psychopaths will climb over everybody to get what they want because they go, I can offer what I offer.
Yeah.
And there's no fear or risk of them changing.
It's just a self-confidence thing, isn't it?
It's a self-confidence. And also too... their skill set is generally how much gobbledygook they can spit out of their mouth. It's not what they know. It's what they can regurgitate from what they've heard.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, all management roles are really just about having that, offering that calming solution out into the world to go, this is what we need to do, blah, 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 blah. And whether they actually know it or whether they can actually just spit it out from, I've read this 200 times in different emails, I can just regurgitate it out, or whether it's actually a learned and known practice, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Because under fire, people who can't come up with the wording are generally the ones that sort of have just read it, yeah, learned it, and then spit it out. The ones that can actually under fire
go articulate.
Out and articulate it and go, okay, now I understand your point. Now let's go with it. I mean, that's why lawyers are so good. I mean, a lot of lawyers, because their brains...
don't crack under pressure.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, they literally can just spit. Now, on the comment you've just said, let's go back to that. So what you said is this. They can go back and forwards on that.
Yeah.
And whereas the most normal person, once they've said something, it's like...
I need to go home.
Yeah. Or the one thing... That I hate is, let me get back to you on that. If you've been asked a question, you should be well and truly aware of what questions are coming.
You don't appreciate getting the right answer over one on the spot?
I do, but generally, if you're getting asked something, it's something you should be aware that's coming. Not too often you should be able to get blindsided when you come to something where you say, oh, we're going to be talking about this. If you're getting blindsided, means that you are just, you know, you're just winging it. You're just hoping you're not going to get anything. You know, you need to come into meetings and things like that prepared, you know, and you should never get blindsided by anything. I mean, there might be an oddball question. You go, that's not relevant to what we're talking about. And then that's fine. I can get back to you. But if you're coming in with sort of like just around a standard conversation about something, you should actually have enough data to go, you know, I can comment on that and safely know that I'm not going to lead this down the garden path.
Yeah, right.
And that's what everyone should really be. If you're going to comment on stuff, you should be able to actually make an educated decision enough to be able to go, I know enough about this to sort of say, well, this is what I think. I don't know it, but this is what I've heard. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
And not go, you know, like Smurfs are green. What the fuck do you mean about that?
Well, I mean...
How the fuck did you get to there?
There's a certain amount of green in every colour. That's a really interesting point there about... So I had a conversation with a good friend the other day, and we got to talking about like parenting and kids and all that sort of stuff. And we got onto the subject of, what were we talking about? I was talking about like LGBTQI, like gender and gender identification and stuff like that.
It's a big topic at the moment.
Huge. And he's of the opinion that, you know, there's man and woman and blah, blah, blah. Like, opinions, I don't really care. Like, everyone is entitled to an opinion. I don't have to agree. And that's what makes really good friendships and discussions,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Got onto the subject, right, of then, do you show a strong opinion one way or the other in front of your children? I said, no, I try to remain neutral because it's not my decision to influence their opinion.
Yeah.
And he was of the impression that, well, some stuff needs to have a strong opinion and they need to see your strong opinion on stuff, which I didn't agree with. And I told him, I said, well, I don't agree with that because what I feel is irrelevant to how my kids should develop their own opinions on stuff.
Mm, absolutely. I can actually meet that on both sides.
Yeah, I do understand both sides of the argument.
Some moral stuff, I believe you can be very firm on. You know, like cruelty animals, beaten women, certain things you can be dead set up.
Yeah.
There is no shades of grey. There is no different sides of the fence. There's that. But there's other things that go, no, it's quite... I'm quite happy for you to sort of believe that. So if, you know, for instance, okay, let's talk about transgender. Like if somebody wants to dress as a woman and they're a man, like, you know, you can make your own opinion on that. You know, like my opinion of it doesn't matter because you are you and I am me. There's certain things that my opinion and moral standing has to be quite firm, and other stuff is like, no, you find your own way. So there, I think there's a ground for both, But as a person, it all comes down to sort of like, some people just like to be right. They're like people just to agree with their opinion to give them more confidence that they're actually in a better spot. But it doesn't matter. There's billions of people on this planet and we're all set up so differently. Nothing's the same. Half of us will believe one thing, the other half will believe the other thing, and none of it's right.
Yeah.
I think it's just nice to know that sort of like, yeah, you can influence your children on certain things, but their opinion on where they're going to go is going to be theirs anyway. You just have to, as moral stuff, it's nice to give them guidance, but you don't say this is the only way to go. You don't in
it's
anything.
It's hard to draw the line, but, right? Like,
it is.
The Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know what I mean? You 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, you start telling them that Jewish people are bad and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we need to cleanse them and all this sort of shit. Yeah. And then, you know, those people are like 60 or 70 now, which means their kids are probably 30 or 40, 50. You know, like, where do you draw the line on your opinion and passing it on?
Yeah. Time has been a terrible thing sometimes because it also has created those witch hunts.
Yeah.
That have, you know, and but now as we progress further along, hopefully we're going away from the racism and you still hear it now, and look, and some people can become racist in a funny way, but it's not a hatred way. And I think that's where the message can be mixed, because the thing is, everything can be funny, but it doesn't have to be sort of like, that's because I hate you. It's just fun. And that's where comedians can get away with it. And that is so good, because in an audience, and especially Chris Rock can talk about black people and niggers, he calls it. And it's just like, and when he does it, people go, oh, he can say that because he's a black guy. But it's funny as fuck. It is just so funny.
But we can't do that joke, right?
No, that's right. But the thing is,
the greatest white comedian couldn't do that joke.
No, that's right. But the thing is, do you know what? If a white comedian did it, pretty much you guarantee in today's world there'd be no hatred in it. You know?
No, but
it would just be something that can be misconstrued, and that's where.
But are we misconstrued about racism to the point where we think it's okay? Like, is this racism talking, but we're just allowing it to be normalized? Like, is our understanding of it like, oh, it's okay to say because it's a joke? Is that us trying to make ourselves feel better
about
being racist or in, like, you know, like,
I think this, you're onto something there for sure.
Yeah, so like are we now accepting that and saying, oh, it's okay because he's a comedian, but purely it's because then we can say, oh, you know, it's just a joke, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I do think that the world will get better as we go along.
Oh, definitely.
But it's just understanding, and is it that next generation with less opinions forced on them that becomes more and more accepting and, you know, understanding?
Oh, I'd like to think so.
The more neutral we leave our kids, the closer, right? If you put them in the middle of a soccer field, football field, whatever, and start them in the middle, right? And don't tell them what end they're going for. Oh, well, fuck, what way are we going to go? Do we kick it this way? Do we kick it that way? Instead of starting them in the front line and be like, this is the way you're going.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's give them a chance. Or, yeah, and I think the overarching thing about opinions and picking where you should be drawing the line is happiness. This was my discussion the other day with my friend. I said, I like to remain neutral because I do not want to decide their opinions or the outcome of someone's happiness based on my opinions.
No, so that's right.
The worst thing I could ever imagine is coming home to one of my kids hanging from a rope because they didn't feel that they could tell me that they were gay or...
Yeah.
You know, like, I couldn't bear them being so scared of having a different opinion and it impacting happiness so much that it was just easier to end it all.
Yeah, that's right. And look, and for some, and then look, there's been so many
people, kids lost to that, right?
That's like, they feel like they couldn't tell, you know? And that's where it's so nice to be, for everything to be an open door, an open book, and just let me know.
Like, yeah.
I won't judge you for what you are or, you know, who you are. I can have my opinions on it, but I won't judge you for that.
Yeah, never voice them, right?
Never voice them, no. I think it's nice, as your friend was sort of saying, it's nice to be firm on stuff, but I think you have to be very selective on giving people your opinion on stuff where, you know, there's a line. There is definitely a line there of sort of that you should stay back from and go, you need to develop your own opinion on this. My opinion is here, but I've based that on me.
Yeah.
You know, we are two different people. You know, we're the same orientation. We've got the same blood, skin, fucking hair, nails, but we are different in so many ways.
Mm.
You know, the age that I am now, I've seen different things that have given me opinions on stuff. You're a different age where you've seen stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so the lines will never ever come together, but they go close.
Well, we're only 20 years apart. And in that difference in 20 years of being a teenager, when you're a teenager or when I was, man, the world is so different.
Oh, it has changed so exponentially. And it's continuing to change
and
now.
And it will. And it will change and change and change. And who's to say whether it's changing for the better?
Yeah, look, and there's no right or wrong remedy for anything.
No.
We at the moment, with the way the world is, which is just in a very unusual place, you know, like we're seeing with the COVID crap, we're seeing a lot of violence, and especially in certain countries, and that's just escalating. But the terrible thing is the message is lost.
Yeah.
You know, with the violence. You know, now all people see is the violence. They don't, the message is gone, you know, and the worst thing is that in another 6 months, the message is lost altogether. Mm. And all they remember is there was riots, you know, and the message behind what they needed to do is, you know, disappeared into the dust. You know, same as when the LA riots, same sort of thing. You know, people remember the LA riots.
Because it was on fire.
LA was on fire. But really, you know, the message was lost because the same message is same thing has happened again.
Yeah, 25 years later.
Yeah, that's right.
Years later or whatever. Yeah, it's strange, man. I don't know. It's people, right? People are malleable. I think it's important to start them in the middle of the field.
Not
one way or the other. Just pick a side.
Pick a side and then go with it.
Yeah.
And I say, if all of a sudden
you're willing at halftime to change ends, because you know you need to be willing to. Yeah, that's the thing that is really hard when you get a certain opinion given to you from the start.
Yeah,
it's so hard to change. Like people that grow up in cults. This is it. And then they go, oh, and that shame of believing or feeling something different just weight on your shoulders. And yeah, it's so hard to change behaviors after, especially when you're, you know, I'm sure that there's psychological, you know, explanation for how much you take in as a child and you learn and it imprints on your DNA, you know, trauma and all these sort of things that happen when you're young and don't understand. Yeah, and you just carry it and then it just springs forward, right?
Yeah.
Really good analogy I used the other day, and not to blow my own horn, but fuck, I'm good. And
fig jam, baby.
It's like a diary, right? It's like a journal and you're writing in it every day whether you know it or not. And when a certain circumstance pops up, well, you just flick back until the first time you can, like the next page that has a response. Someone cuts you off, back. Oh, fuck yeah, yell at them right here.
Mm.
And what you need to do is write more pages with a positive outcome so that the next time you're flicking back through the pages, here it is, just let it go. Just breathe through it. It's not going to achieve anything. Yeah. And then you're going to do that again, right? So then it's 5 pages later, this is how we deal with it. So the next time it comes up, you've only got to go back 2 pages. Oh, here it is.
That's it. Yeah. Carrying anger is such a waste of time. And so many people do because they don't know how to get rid of the frustration. I mean, the beautiful thing is as you get older, you learn how to just detox that shit out of you. But it takes a fucking long time. Mm. You know, a lot of people hold that rage. Oh, you know, people
die with it, man.
Oh, people say, he's always angry. But the one thing is that they've never had probably anyone come to them and sort of say, man, you always appear angry. Can I help you at all? Is it, you know, and it's like, fuck off. Yeah. So I say, okay, just thought I'd ask.
That's cool.
Yeah, man,
people just flipping through that book, right? And it's all right, here's how we respond because this is what it says on the page.
Action versus response.
Yeah.
That's always the thing, you know, and sometimes you see it and you think that's the way it is. You mimic it and then you build it as part of your building block and you just use it. And that's where it's really nice to not give kids those building blocks. It's nice to show adults not those building blocks because, look, there's times during life everyone's still learning. It doesn't matter whether you've been doing something for 20 or 30 years. Somebody can do something and you see it the one time and go, oh, that looks like it's a better way to go. And then you take it on board and you start doing it and it works better for you. And then it's just, you know, there's a change. But you could be doing the same thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's no right or wrong way for anything. There's always a new way to learn. And there's only ways to get better at everything. But there's also ways you can also learn something. And go, and somebody says, what the fuck do you do that for? I haven't seen that done before. It's like, oh, no, it really works well for me. Have you tried it like this? Oh, fuck, this way's stupid.
Yeah. It goes both ways, right?
It does,
go, oh, no, this is the way I do it. You can't tell me anything new, blah, blah, blah. Like, get real defensive about your point of view. Or you can be like, that makes sense. Am I going to tell them it makes sense?
I remember going to a seminar, like a jiu-jitsu seminar years and years and years ago. And any time I go to any seminar, I've never worn a high belt. I always put on a white belt, you know, even though I've been doing stuff for a very, very long time. Always put the white belt.
Sneaky.
Well, the thing just is,
joking people.
It's probably just disrespectful to sort of like to go, and if somebody else is there teaching, I always think, well, I'm there to learn, and I don't want them sort of like looking at me going sort of like, oh, you got a black belt, have you?
But don't you get up to that level and sort of, isn't your ego sort of a bit diminished by that point?
It does. That's why I like to wear the white belt. You know, so like I put the white belt on when I go to seminars and just go.
Just to make them feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and just go, look, I'm here to learn. You know, it's like, and everyone says, oh, white belts, they know nothing. They're here to learn. So you just learn. Yeah, and I remember going to a seminar and there was a guy and he was really good. Really, really, really good. And he said something and he sort of said that standing arm locks don't work. And this guy is like, he was the South Pacific heavyweight kickboxing champion. He'd won several jiu-jitsu tournaments. He was right up there.
Yep.
You know, fantastic athlete. And he said standing arm locks don't work. And it's just like, oh. And at that stage I was still doing security work. And I reckon I'd probably walked out 50 people with standing arm locks.
Yep.
You know, over time. Like, no problems at all. And it's just like, oh, but he'd never learnt the arm lock that had worked for him. Yep. And I was sitting there shocked when he said it. I'm just going, oh my God. I can't believe it. This guy is on the world stage. He beats people up for a living. He stars in movies. He's really, really good. And he doesn't reckon standing arm locks work. I'm thinking, maybe I've just been lucky.
Yeah.
I've just jagged it.
Yep.
But, you know, so even somebody at the highest level, which you can admire, sometimes just doesn't know
the way to do it.
Doesn't know the way to do it. They're still learning.
Why didn't you stand up and be like, hey.
I'll show you one, dude.
I'll show you one. Fucking walk him out of his own seminar. This white belt
come on, little ninja guy. it was quite funny. You know, just for me, it was like a bit like, oh, dear.
But yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting for somebody at such a high caliber. And I thought, oh, but once again, that goes back to the information. I had just been shown something by somebody which had resonated with me, and they'd learned it from somebody which had resonated with them, and it was something that actually worked. You know, it just, it was like, oh, shit, I can actually make that work for me. So there's still learning for everybody, regardless of what skill set, you know, anything. There is still something to learn from everybody.
I think that there's just something about being a midfielder, right? Like,
yeah,
sometimes you get super excited, chase the ball this way, but then you realize, oh, fuck, I'm offside, back.
Yep, chase it back.
You know what I
chase
mean? Like, back. There's, and it's realizing that you're offside sometimes. And the easiest way to do it is when you realize you're getting angry and you're going to fucking really take a stand on something. Like, to the nth degree where it could end up in altercation, right? Be it mental or physical. But yeah, you realize, oh, fuck, I'm offside. Let's pull it back a bit. And yeah, there's something there. But if you've got the wrong people on your team,
you spend a lot more.
Go get the ball. Go get it. Get it.
you spend a lot more time in transition than you actually do playing position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's So there's an analogy right there. The soccer field, I'm going to work on that one. I'm going to make that, I'm going to develop that out a bit. But yeah, you got to stay neutral, man.
Yep, you do, yeah.
Or you have your opinions, but don't take them on the field.
Well, the explaining life as any sort of game, the midfield is a position where you can attack on something or defend on something.
Mm.
But if you're all the way in the back line, You can really only defend. If you're all the way in the forward line, you can only ever attack. There's no neutral ground for you to do anything. And I think it's really nice to actually still be willing to listen and learn. I mean, it's one of the greatest analogies of all time. Listen and learn.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. And everyone's got something to say. Whether it be so simple or not, you'll learn something. Somebody will teach you something somewhere. You just get a surprise and go, oh, wow. And then all of a sudden you don't just say, I don't need to sit on the fence. Life doesn't need to be shades of grey. It can be black or white with the information you have, but it's really nice to have a neutral approach and listen to everything.
Yeah, and you can't learn if you're talking, right? No. you can't learn if you're talking.
No. That's why people go to seminars and just sit there for hours on end listening to people speak. Because then you can't speak. You literally have to take that information and absorb it, and look, and the people that actually take their notebooks and write stuff down, they're the smart ones that go to somewhere and just take the information down and go, holy shit, man. You know, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes you may go to something and come out with one thing is all you come out with, but you're still one thing ahead of where you were when you went in.
Yeah, man.
So that's the best thing of all time. Love learning.
Love learning.
And that's why I've learned something about you today.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's good.
I learned that you were sort of adverse to taking a risk at the risk of being judged.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't often do.
No.
Like, I put myself out there.
All the time.
Often.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see my brain take that default stance.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, drop it back into second gear and go, hang on.
Laughed it off, and then I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, what am I doing?
What have I done?
Yeah.
I'm such a dummy. Yeah, yeah. It was interesting, yeah.
Super cool, though, that your actually brain caught up with
well, you got to identify it, right? And if you don't identify it and you don't think about it, and I mean, there's obviously a lot of thoughts on that in, you know, letting shit go. And I don't know. And I suppose there's a whole argument there. If it felt right subconsciously, I would have just said yes. Am I now maybe just forced? I don't know. There's a fucking million arguments there. But yeah, now I'm going to do what's uncomfortable and see what happens.
Yeah, because it's sometimes it's not about the doing things that make you physically feel uncomfortable. Like I still like to go and swim in the ocean. That makes me feel terribly uncomfortable, especially if there's sharks around the place and jellyfish and shit like that. But I mean, that's a physical thing. That's easy. When you do something that mentally makes you feel uncomfortable, that's a different band altogether.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between AM and fucking FM radio. Big fucking difference. Mm. Sound still comes out one end, but it's a different sound altogether. So it's nice to be able to be willing to take that, the other risk.
Yeah, you know, well, there's nothing on the other side of fear, right?
Nope. That's it. Fear is always the enemy. It makes cowards out of everybody. But sometimes the cowardly way of approaching things is also negative to making you improve by big time. And you don't realize it until you take a crack.
Yep, and you got to try.
You've got to try. It is all about the try.
Whew. That was a good episode.
That was a good episode, man. Even though we got fucking rained halfway in the guts.
Rained halfway out. Sorry for the little edit that you would have heard there. And yeah, I mean, shit, we still haven't figured it out, Rick. But we are one episode closer.
Yes, one episode closer to figuring it out.
Yeah. Guys, find us on socials, tag us, all that good stuff. LFTO podcast everywhere. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening along. See you guys.
Yep.
Nice.
That was really good.